Session number 17688, Reel 3.
They didn't come across opposite our company. They came across on either side, where I think there were probably fords in the river, which at that time of year the Imjim was low, as opposed to in the middle of summer when it was extremely high in the flood. But at that time of the year it was fordable, and the noise is going round, and the blowing of bugles and shouting and singing, which they used to do when attacking. There were obviously a large number getting across. When first light came, we were still sitting on our hill above the river and some distance from anyone else, because there were large gaps between the companies. And we saw a lot of Chinese on another hill, which was quite close, and we strike was called up. And of course the thing that worried one when you called airstrike was that they would get the right hill, because unfortunate things had happened in the past. And I must admit, the only time I've seen an airstrike was napalm close at hand, and I was damn glad they didn't get the wrong hill. It's a most unpleasant thing to watch, but they were very successful, and whoever was on the hill, I don't think knew very much about it afterwards. But it was obvious that we were not going to be able to remain where we were. And a troop of 8th Hussars were sent up to collect us. Well, unfortunately, there was a misunderstanding, and I think what happened was they thought where we were sitting on the top of the hill were Chinese, and the people round the bottom of our hill were ourselves, and they opened fire. And during the period of the evacuation, the other two platoon commanders and myself were hit. I was the two other platoon commanders, Tony McNamara and Ben Smith, were hit almost immediately before we got off the hill, and I was shot later on when down the hill. And I was had two bullets through my leg in the vein. If one's got to be hit, one would choose the leg more than anywhere else. And I mean, I was obviously couldn't walk or anything, and I was evacuated down through battalion headquarters, through the first aid post, and I didn't take part in the battle after that.
Can you give more detail about the circumstances under which you were shot?
I was shot by a Beza bullet from a Centurion tank. I mean, it was total error, and in no way do I hold the 8th Hussars in any way to blame. I mean, it just, these things happen. And bluntly, it's although one says it very sadly, I'm the poor fellow who took over from me, who was a national serviceman who was due to get on a boat to go home the following week, took over my platoon and was killed a couple of days later. So, I mean, I was, I think, probably extremely lucky.
A Beza is a machine gun, isn't
it? Yes. The other two, I think, were hit by the 17-pound or whatever a centurion has.
And this was the 23rd of April?
23rd, morning of the 23rd.
Had you been able to gain any impression of the enemy who were attacking on the Imjin? Much impression of them?
No, I mean, there was, except there were a tremendous lot of them. As I say, our position was not attacked on the night of the 22nd, 23rd. And one didn't come close to them because they didn't actually attack our position. But on the way out, I mean, one saw them. And I was not as happened, I believe, later on in the battle, where there was a lot of hand-to-hand fighting. Certainly we didn't have any of that first night.
What kind of treatment did you get for your wounds?
I was taken down through a mash. I then was taken to a temporary hospital in Taegu, which was American, and I should have gone back to Curie, where the British base was, but because there were so many people going back, I think I was one of the few people sent to the American military hospital in Tokyo, where I was put in a general hospital and extremely well looked after.
I don't know if you've ever seen these television programs of MASH in the series. Does it ring true?
I think it rings through to the extent that you were shoved on a table with a lot of other people around you on different tables in different states of damage. And I mean, I was very painful, but I was in no danger. I hadn't been shot through the middle or head or anything. I mean, I was just in pain, but you saw pretty unpleasant sights. You don't like operating theatres, as I don't. I mean, you know, but one didn't really mind, as one was very pleased to be being looked after. But I mean, no, I think there was an element of truth in the MASH programs, television program.
Did you have any complaints about the treatment you got?
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. I was on the line that I was being evacuated, in the stream I was being evacuated. I think I was probably the only British soldier, certainly in the ward I was in on the way back to Japan. And then I don't know if there are any other British in the hospital I was in Tokyo. I didn't come across any.
Were you able to recover in time to go back to the unit?
Yes. What happened was I was in hospital for about 10 days, and an Australian doctor from the base in Tokyo came round and said, well, look, you'll need a fortnight's convalescent leave. You have the alternative of going down to a convalescent home in the convalescent home in Curie, or if you think you can look after yourself, you can have a fortnight's leave in Tokyo. So I said, I think I'll be able to look after myself. And I went to stay in the Marunouchi Hotel, which was the leave hotel. And then a family, very kindly, who were working out, I think their name was Strickland, found me there and said, would I like to go and stay with them? So I stayed with them for a week, I think.
What happened to you then?
And then I came back to the battalion, and went back to Y Company, the company I'd left.
Were you able to be effective in view of the wound?
Oh, yes. I mean, I had completely recovered. I mean, by this time, the two bullets which went through my leg didn't actually break a bone. They just chipped the bone in my leg, and after 3 weeks, I was perfectly all right again. I'm very lucky to the extent that I think I must have had two hard shot as opposed to explosive or incendiary bullets through my leg, because otherwise it would have done far more damage.
What was the state of the unit when you returned to it?
Very different, because we'd had a lot of casualties. My company commander was the same company commander, but the other platoon commanders were different. I went back to a different platoon because I think probably the platoon I was given had always been the most difficult platoon, and had been extremely well handled by the platoon commander, who was a reservist, and he had been wounded and wasn't coming back, and the platoon I was given, which he commanded, had always been difficult but had been firmly controlled by him. And as the replacement officers had only just come out from Japan, I wasn't sent back to my own platoon, which I always thought was very highly of, but I was put into this platoon, to command this platoon, which had always been known to be difficult, because I had more experience, and actually I got on with them very well, but they needed extremely firm handling.
What exactly was the problem?
There were a number of reservists who were not in the case. These reservists easy to handle, and there were one or two very difficult characters who one had to sit on extremely firmly.
But in what specific ways were they difficult?
They were bloody minded. They didn't want to be out there, and they made it quite plain. And one said to them, well, look, you're out here, and I mayn't want to be out here either, but we either all remain out here and with the hope of getting back, or we're certainly not going back in individually, so you better lump it.
Which platoon was it?
7.
Did you have to punish any of them?
Yes.
In what way? Could you punish them in Korea?
If you punished them and put them up in on charges to either the company commander or to, if worse, to the commanding officer, the problem was that they would at the most get 14 days field punishment, which meant that they were sent back to B echelon, which was probably more comfortable than where they were on the hills, and therefore one didn't actually charge them often. One made jolly sure if anyone was being difficult, they got the most unpleasant work to do, and one made sure that the others accepted the fact that it was being done this way, and it worked.
What military operations was the battalion then involved in?
At this time, we were as different from before. Whenever we stopped, we immediately dug as deep and fast as we could. We put out wire, we put out mines, and we were sitting again almost exactly where we had started on the south of the MGM in the previous March. This was June, and we had moved back up to the MGM. And we were, the counterattack had come in, and we were sitting on the south bank, and we were patrolling across the river before it started to get too deep with the floods coming down in the middle of the summer. It used to rain extremely hard, and the river used to rise by many feet and was impossible to cross.
Can you take me through the last months of your service in Korea, please?
We were patrolling, and unlike what I believe happened after 1951, the winter of 1951, we was always on the move. We were not in fixed lines, as happened. I was reading the book by the commanding officer of the Black Watch, who was out there in 1952, and it seemed to me totally stationary, and they used to go back behind the lines and have parties. We were really just living from hand to mouth and moving around. And we never stayed anywhere very long, but the difference was after April, when we stopped, instead of being rather lackadaisical about digging, we always dug in as hard and fast as we could. And we knew we were going to leave as a battalion in October 1951. Our time was up, and the Royal Leicesters were taking over from us. And bearing in mind that one knew that if one could see through to the middle of October and was either on a boat to Hong Kong or a boat to the United Kingdom, and towards the end of September, it was decided that the line before the winter set in would be ironed out and the odd pocket taken out. And we were attached to 28th Brigade, which was commanded by a brigadier, if my memory saves me right, called Brigadier Taylor, who I think probably was a very brave man. Whether he was a good brigadier, I wouldn't like to comment on. But our job was to be attached to him, and we were to straighten a bit of the line out. And this we did. However, in doing it, I checked the figures from a regimental magazine. In doing this, bearing in mind it was our last 10 days in Korea, we had two officers killed and seven wounded, and 87 other ranks killed or wounded. And it's very sad that a lot of people, for instance, he wasn't my platoon sergeant at the time, but the platoon sergeant I went out with to Korea was called Sergeant Smith, and he was exactly the same age as me. And on his embarkation leave, he got married, and he was in this last action, and the poor fellow died of wounds. And one felt, how bad luck it can be for some people.
What was your own personal experience of this operation of straightening the line?
very uncomfortable. I mean, one was for the first time being shelled heavily. I mean, we were shelled heavily, I think, probably by both sides by mistake occasionally. But it was extremely unpleasant, but one knew that if one survived, one was going home.
Were there casualties in your platoon?
Yes. I mean, I think we lost. I had no one killed in my platoon, although I had a man who went missing and, to the best of my knowledge, has never turned up since. And I suspect he was probably hit by a shell and his body was never found.
So were your casualties in your platoon from the shelling only?
No, we had certainly one I can remember from a rifle, rifle automatics.
How did that happen?
It was someone shooting at us. I mean, they were all around. I mean, we were at this time we were, you know, in sort of close proximity, and we were going up a hill, and we took the hill, and there were, you know, they were. A fair number of them were still around.
Did you take any enemy prisoners?
Not in that occasion, but I'd taken prisoners before. I was actually when the Commonwealth Division was formed, General Castle, the divisional commander, said the first prisoner was captured, the platoon commander would get a bottle of whiskey and the platoon crates of beer. And it was my platoon which captured the first prisoner after the formation of the Commonwealth Division. I got a bottle of whiskey from the divisional commander.
Can you describe how the prisoners were captured, please?
We were on a patrol and this prisoner obviously had got lost, and we captured him as he came down the valley towards us. I think he had people behind him, but when we got hold of him, they disappeared.
When and where was this?
This must have been probably a June, July.
And can you describe the prisoner?
No, I mean he was Chinese. Just an ordinary Chinese soldier.
What was their equipment like?
KPOC and rifles and grenades and bandoliers.
He was wearing KPOC in summer?
No, I'm sorry. No, sorry, but it was wasn't KPOC. It was light. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of using the wrong word. KPOC was what they wore in winter. It was light. Cotton fatigues.
You mentioned using the mines to, after your experience on the Imjin.
Yes.
What do you think about this campaign, worldwide campaign nowadays, to ban landmines?
I think landmines are very horrible things. And I think the way they've been used, and particularly recently, probably appalling. I, however, feel that if the rules of landmines are kept, i.e., when you lay them, you have to make a map and you have to designated are very necessary under certain circumstances, and provided that they are marked, the minefields, and they are properly laid and registered, and not left when the troops move on, I'm not sure that there's any, if I was a civilian, I'm not sure if it's any nastier being blown up on a landmine than being shot by things. And I think that they are necessary under certain circumstances. I can understand the campaign against landmines, and I can understand all the emotive reasons for banning them, but I'm not sure whether, if rationally debated, it is you should do away with all landmines, but you know, I don't think that that is the view generally held.
What are your feelings now about having taken part in the Korean War?
I feel that it was should have happened. I appreciate that what is happening in South Korea on the financial side at the moment is probably very unpleasant, but when one looks at the state of North Korea as against the state of South Korea, and I fully appreciate we were not fighting for democratic government. President Syngman Rhee was probably the most unpleasant man you could have as a leader in many ways. I think the right thing was done.